I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The gospel reading we heard today, the telling of the death of John the Baptist, is considered by some to be the most memorable birthday party story ever heard. The King Herod we hear about in this reading is actually the son of King Herod the Great, the king who at Jesus' birth in the Gospel of Matthew ordered the execution of all young male children in the area of Bethlehem in an attempt to ensure that Jesus was killed and that he would not lose his throne to this newborn king of the Jews. Spoiler alert, this was not successful. But today we've moved to a new generation of Herod, and we hear of a luxurious party, a pleasing dance, an oath, and a request full of hatred and sin, all culminating in the head of John the Baptist placed on a platter and given to the woman who wanted it. It was the head of a man who was righteous and holy, who worked to prepare the way of the Lord and call people of faith towards a life of repentance, a life that always pointed beyond themselves and towards Christ. John's pursuit of his mission was a courageous one. He shared his message with all people, from people on the streets to people in kingdoms. And as one commentary I read said, John was not looking at polls or adjusting his words based on popular public opinion. Instead, he spoke the truth he knew from God. And as we see in this gospel reading, John's courage was a costly one. Even the man who ordered John's death called him righteous and holy. So as I reflected on this gospel passage, I wondered, why did John die? Why didn't God save him? John had prepared the way for the mission of Christ, and Jesus and his disciples were off performing miracles left, right, and center, healing the sick, bringing the dead back to life. And yet John was bound in a prison cell awaiting his death, a death that came out of greed, selfishness, and out of anger. Why could John not be one of these miracles? It appears that God did not save John, and at times it might seem that God is not saving us either. While many of us cannot relate exactly to what happened to John, I imagine that there are moments when all of us have felt, this isn't right. This isn't what I deserve. Where is God? We might be trying to live as righteous and holy as we can, trying to live the best life that we can, in a world that often feels like chaos, sadness, and darkness is in every which way we look, in parts of the news, Facebook posts. Some of this darkness affects us, and sometimes it affects those we love and know, which in turn, of course, affects us too. We continue to live in a world where people of faith are persecuted for what they believe in. Christians are arrested, bound, and killed for, like John, not keeping silent. You don't have to look long to find a person or a situation that needs some saving. As a student, my first placement was in a parish in the west end of the city, and it was a bustling parish full of people that loved each other, that loved their community, and worshiped God in the best way that they knew how. And in this parish, I learned how to assist on Sundays, I learned about budgets, I learned about community outreach, and I participated in my first funeral. It was a funeral of a 5-year-old boy, a child who just did not wake up the next morning. And the funeral was something that I never want to experience again. Why didn't God save this life? It was a question that I and the parish wrestled with for a long time, and it led to other questions, like why doesn't God change the lives of all those who are in need so that they're not? Why can it feel like God does not save us, and the chaos, sadness, and darkness is what consumes us? This was a hard text for me this week to prepare for, and I almost didn't know what to do with it, but no one would trade with me to preach it instead. I prayed and I thought a lot about it, and I looked at several different sources for the good news in this text, the good in this darkness, in this death of John the Baptist, who prepared the way for Christ. One commentary I saw read, "So what is the good news in this gospel reading? Maybe there isn't any. But there's always good news. It's what the word gospel means. And it's why we gather here, to hear the good news and to find it even when we struggle. God did not save John from death, nor did God save Jesus from death, or that little boy, or will God save us from death? But God did dwell with John, and John felt and saw the grace of God more clearly than I believe almost anyone he was surrounded by. The Gospel of Mark says, "Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him." The gospel says that Herod feared John. John is the one arrested, bound, and imprisoned, and Herod is enjoying a luxurious and free life, yet Herod feared John and knew that despite the drastically different lives they led, John was righteous and holy, and God had dwelt with him in his times at the Jordan River, and even now, bound and imprisoned. John the Baptist lived out his faith. It grounded him and his words and his actions, and he really took an all-or-nothing approach to sharing the grace of God that he felt dwelling in him until his very last day. Yes, John died. And it was dramatic and dark, but John died being the person that God created him to be, sharing and being the good news in times where it may have seemed there was none. God dwelt with John the way that God has and continues to dwell with us, even in times when it seems like we too have no good news. We're not always saved from the darkness in our world, not the way we might want to be. But our faith teaches us that we are given strength through God's light in that darkness, a light that dwells within the person to your left and to your right, to your family and friends, and dwells within you. I don't know how many of you have noticed this, but I wear on my wrist, it's an Anglican rosary. And when I was about 12 years old, I went to the Sisterhood of St. John Divine, the convent, and I was singing there and I saw this and I thought, wow, that's beautiful. And a sister came up to me, she said, "Do you want that?" And I said, "Yes, I do." She said, "That'll be $5. And I really felt like I couldn't say no to this sister. So I gave her the $5 and I got this. And I didn't really know what to do with it, so I wore it. And I've worn it ever since. I've taken it off maybe a couple times, one being when in my teens I left the church, I took it off, put it somewhere, and when I came back, I put it back on. And usually I don't think people notice it that often, but they tend to, and sometimes it leads to short and brief conversations of faith, or sometimes they're very long and deep. And it's gotten to the point where friends of mine have said that they can't imagine me without it. It's a part of me and literally has a hand in everything that I do. The presence of this cross on my wrist reminds me that our faith is not one that I can live passively or hide from. Our faith is not one that teaches us to let the chaos and darkness that exists in the world take over. It is a faith that says to proclaim, like John, that there is good news, and it is more than we could ever ask for or imagine, and it is there at all times. And I'm not saying you have to go and wear something like this or a t-shirt that says, I believe in Jesus, but share who you are, because you are a child of God. You are one whom God dwells within, lives through, and brings good news and light. And that is worth sharing in this world. And even more, it's worth remembering. I pray that, like the righteous and holy John, we too grow in our understanding of the good news, proclaim it, and live into the grace that God freely gives us forever and ever. Amen.